Praise the Lord. Good to be home, everybody. Welcome to New Life. I'm glad you're here. Buckle up. Here we go. We're going to start a brand new series this morning that I think that the Lord is going to use tremendously in your life, and it's called What's Going On? What's going on? Think of this series as like camping. It's uncomfortable. It's probably unpredictable. You'll probably have some new discoveries during this time together. It can be scary, but it's a lot of fun. The fun sometimes comes at the end after it's over so you can look back on the camping experience and be like, hey, that was incredible. I don't know how God's going to use this, but he's going to use it because we're going to talk for the next several weeks this summer about the end times. We're going to talk about the end of time. Now, let me talk to you briefly about what that means. I didn't write this. This isn't my plan. This is what God laid out. And so some of it's going to seem a little crazy. Some of it might seem a little weird. Some of it might seem a little unfair. And all of that is okay because we're not the author of this. God is the author of this. But I want to answer the question that's on the screen. What's going on? But we can't answer the question, what's going on around us right now, unless we have some foundation work that we have to do first. So whether you're a new believer, whether you've been a seasoned believer for a long time, whether you're familiar with some of this stuff in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Matthew, the book of John, whether you're familiar with some of this stuff or not, I'm going to try to make it as simple as I possibly can for you. It'd be a reminder for some of you. It'd be new for some of you. But we're going to try to eventually get to answer the question, really, what's going on in our world around us today? Study of the end times is called eschatology. Ooh, Troy, you know a big word, right? Eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the things at the end. And so we're going to be doing an eschatological study here at New Life Church over the next few weeks as we look at the end of time. It's important for this series that you don't miss a week. I realize that summer vacations, go, enjoy your family, spend that time, make the memories. But I'm really imploring you to try to be as diligent as you can to watch online. It doesn't have to be live. You can watch it later in the week, but stay connected because this is a snowballing series, meaning it's building upon the last week and the last week. And I try not to do that often because if somebody misses a week, that we don't feel, I don't want you to feel lost, but I also don't want to spend a lot of time each week reviewing what we learned the previous week because there's a lot of information that we're going to share. Let's start by taking a look at Mark's gospel. I'm going to be all over the word today. So a strategy that you might want to consider today would be to write down the scriptures because you might not be able to get to them as fast as possible. But let me just tell you this. Any preacher that says, take my word for it, don't take their word for it. Study to show yourself approved. Each one is personally responsible for their own spiritual condition. You're not getting to heaven on your mama's coattails, your grandmama's coattails. You have to make a decision yourself. You've got to read it. You've got to know it. You've got to make sure your calling and election is sure. So Mark chapter 13, Kyler, I'm going to ask you to do me a big favor. Would you go to my briefcase in the office next to the copy machine, and in there is another pair of glasses. I grabbed the one that has the temple that's broken. It's just going to irritate the thunder out of me as I'm up here today. Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple, so he's leaving church with his posse, with his disciples, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Now I always like to stop to make sure everybody understands what we're talking about. The temple is right there. They just left. It's a beautiful building. Think of it this way. You're in a major city, Las Vegas. You're walking down the strip, whatever you think of Las Vegas, you got to know the architecture is amazing in some of those buildings. And you're like, wow, check it out. Thank you so much. Check it out. Look at those buildings. It's beautiful. So there's this bantering going on between Jesus and some of his disciples. And Jesus takes this opportunity, well, to teach them something. Jesus says, do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, so four of his posse, of his disciples, asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled? And Jesus said to them, watch out, that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. And every mom in the room knows what that's like. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just whatever is given you at the time, just say that, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Whew. You might look at that and go, well, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. So what I want to do today is I want to give you a picture. This is going to be on your Talk It Over discussion guide that we'll have available for you at the end of the gathering today. But I'm going to take you on a journey and do a teaching. I love to preach, but today I'm going to try to teach. And this is the chart. Let's put it up there. And is that Marissa back there today? Marissa? She's back there. She's working this. Listen, Marissa, you're working double time today because I didn't put it in the notes, but we're going to go back and forth to this chart all morning long. So this is the chart that I want to make sure that we're all in agreement. We understand what's going on here. And we're going to talk starting from left to right. We're going to start at the present church age. And this is the timeline of the end times as mapped out in the Word of God. We are currently in what's called the present church age. That's where we live right now. And the church age is, when did it begin, Troy? Well, that's a great question. Thanks for asking. It began when Jesus died and he was buried and he rose 3 days later from the dead and he walked on the earth for a period of about 40 days and then he ascended into heaven and he said to the disciples, the 500 that were there watching him ascend into heaven, which would have been really awesome. He said to them, wait for the gift my father has promised you. So of course, of the 500, 120 of them waited. The other 380 went about whatever they wanted to do. I hope you're part of the 120. They waited and they obeyed Jesus and they waited in the upper room and they were sitting and they were praying and all of a sudden, a sound of a rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire appeared over them and they began to speak in these heavenly languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And on that day, at that time, the church was birthed. The Holy Spirit was unleashed upon the church. That was the birthday of the church. That began the period that we call the present church age. And the present church age doesn't end until one thing takes place. And that one thing that takes place is the rapture of the church. This time of the present church age is this time where all prophecy has to be fulfilled. Prophecy. You're using church words, Troy. Prophecy are things that prophets, the Old Testament writers, have declared that must take place before the church is raptured. And I stand before you today to tell you that there's not a single prophecy that we're aware of that has not been fulfilled. Every one of them has. The only prerequisite to the rapture of the church, to Jesus coming back, to rapture the church and take us away, is there's no prerequisite. They're all done. They're all accomplished. So the next thing on the timeline of God's end time timeline is the rapture of the church, is this. Now, we're coming from a pre-millennialistic vantage point, which means we believe that the rapture of the church is going to take place before the tribulation period. Now, you can believe, if you want to stick around 3.5 years into this thing, you can, or through the whole thing, you have a great time. But I'm planning on going before, right? That's what's my hope. But this is the teaching that I'm giving you today. So if you want to have a conversation with me another time, I would enjoy that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's take a look there. See what Scripture has to say, beginning of verse number 13. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed, or some translation says ignorant, about those who sleep in death. So that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, amen. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep or who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Jesus is going to come back. It is a true statement. He is the supreme promise keeper. Everything he said he would do, he has done. So we get to see history futuristically, because the history book's already been written. And now we're gonna see it take place. Jesus comes in the clouds and he snatches away all who trust in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. And at this time, if you put the chart back up, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. That means those who know Jesus, who have passed away, some of your loved ones, some of my loved ones, that knew Jesus will rise. I don't know how that's gonna look. I don't know whether they were buried or cremated or their body is totally lost. They're gonna rise from the dead and they're gonna meet Jesus. And then you and I get to go on the ride of our lifetime. We get to rise and we get to meet the Lord in the air as well. From our perspective in this eschatological timeline, this end time timeline, this is the next thing that's going to take place. Guys, you got a family, you got a mortgage, you got responsibilities, you got stuff you got to do, you got people depending upon you, I get it, you got a life, but don't lose sight of why you're here. Amen. Jesus is coming back. I'm not just another crazy preacher telling you this to scare you. I'm telling you, this is what the Bible tells us is going to take place. The rapture, that means Jesus coming back to take us to be with him, is imminent. And you're going to want to be a part of that when you hear what I'm going to talk about next. So when is this going to happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll give you the answer to that question right now. Mark chapter 13, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 13, we're going to read verse number 32, and we get the answer from Jesus. But about the day and hour, well, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Jesus is talking in third person. In other words, he's saying, I don't even know when I'm coming back, but only the Father. Then Jesus goes on, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servant in charge, each with their own assigned task. He tells the one at the door, well, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house is going to come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch! Exclamation point. That's Jesus speaking to you and to me. No one knows when this is going to take place. We just know it could be today. The next thing that's going to take place on this end time timeline is this tribulation period. The years of tribulation. It's a period of 7 years. We're going to dissect it just a little bit. It's a period of 7 years according to the Bible. This is a time where God's judgment is going to be poured out upon man's sinful choices, the sinfulness of humanity. In the book of Revelation, which we will look at together, and I will make it as easy as possible and user-friendly for you over the next few weeks. But when we look at the book of Revelation, you're going to see that chapter 6 through 18 of the book of Revelation are the freakiest books in the Bible. They're the most easily misunderstood. There's a whole lot of scary things going on in there. God sounds very angry in there. Well, he is. And that's because of the sinfulness of humanity. Now, before we talk about what's going to happen in the tribulation, where are you going to be? You done been raptured. Bam, you're not in the tribulation. So what's going to be happening to you and to me? Well, I'm glad you asked. I know it seems like, according to Scripture, there's going to be two things that we're going to be able to do. One of those things is we're going to have a judgment. And the judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. We are going to be judged for the things that we've done and said. We're going to stand before God, and all of our sins, from what I can envision in my mind, are just going to be kind of paraded. But at that judgment, there's going to be one mediator, one attorney at law, if you will, that's going to stand up by the name of Jesus Christ, and he's going to say, bought with my blood. You're no longer the same. You've been bought at a great price. And God's going to say, as the accuser is accusing, God's going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. Those sins have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. They're as far away as the east is from the west. That's what we get during that time. And then what's going to happen in this seven-year period? Well, I'm glad you asked. We get to participate in what's called a party in heaven. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. During that time, it's the greatest banquet. I'm going to sit on the end of the table with no broccoli. You sit wherever you want to sit. But at that marriage supper of the Lamb, we get to enjoy a party like you cannot even imagine. That's set for you and me during this 7 years of tribulation, but that's not set for the rest of the world. So let's look at this for a second. And I want to remind you as a prerequisite, you're not going to, well, I shouldn't say that. Just because you're here today doesn't mean that you know Jesus Christ. I know I won't be here. And I hope that you know the same. Then there's this section called the beginning of sorrows. And this is the first 3.5 years of this 7 year tribulation. This period of, it's known as the beginning of sorrows is, well, we read about it a little bit in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me read to you chapter 2, beginning of verse number 7. Just two verses. It might be hard to digest this, but just try. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. What are we talking about? After the church is taken away, coming on this, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be pandemonium on earth. Let's say a third of the world knows Jesus. I don't know if that's true. But if a third of the world is just gone, the world is going to be thrown into chaos, don't you think? So what's going to happen is a satanically empowered man is going to gain worldwide control, according to this book. And how's he going to do that? By promising peace. I know it's crazy. He's going to be good looking. He's going to be charismatic. He's going to be very, very intelligent. He's going to be a man of many, many languages, probably multi-ethnic, probably going to, he's going to have all these characteristics, he's going to be attractive to all kinds of people. How in the world is one man going to be known by the whole world? Kyla, would you hold that little pink thing up next to you really, really high? What do you know? What do you know? She's got more information in the palm of her hand than the president did 20 years ago. We no longer live in a world where somebody who's on fire is the fire is put out. We live in a world where if somebody's on fire, you take out your phone and you film it because you might go viral. I'm telling you, we are poised for this to happen very, very soon. And during this time, this rise of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 13, Daniel chapter 9, this rise of the Antichrist, he's going to be aided by another man. It's like president, vice president. Not really, but it's going to be like a leader and then a sub-leader. The sub-leader is going to be known as the false prophet. This rise of the Antichrist is going to be charismatic and he's going to promise peace and everybody's going to be like, okay, we need that because it's chaos right now. But the false prophet, his cohort, is going to convince the world that not only do we need to follow this man because he's promising peace, but we need to bow down and worship this man. And the world will listen. You've got the Antichrist, you've got the false prophet during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, but then something else happens. A world war breaks out. In the Bible, it's called the Battle of Gog and Magog. What it is it's a world war, and it kind of centers around Israel. A lot of stuff centers around Israel, doesn't it? It centers around Israel. And a great army from the north in alliance with a bunch of other nations, a bunch of other countries from the Middle East and from Africa are going to attack Israel. But what's going to happen during this world war is something supernatural is going to take place according to Scripture. The supernatural thing is God will intervene, and God will protect Israel, where it says in the Bible, Bible, according to Ezekiel chapter 38, it says in the Bible that God is going to protect Israel, and he's going to pour down rain and hailstones and burning sulfur on the enemies that are attacking Israel. It's going to be quite amazing as you read about this. But this is all happening, and this is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, I need you to understand something, that Christians are going to be attacked like you cannot imagine. What? Troy, are you nuts? Do you not hear your contradiction going on here? Didn't you say that all the Christians are raptured? That's exactly what I said. Then how can there be Christians left here? I'm glad you asked, because there are people whose mama and grandmama raised them in church. There are people who learned about the precepts of faith, but they never received Jesus Christ for themselves, and they will miss the boat, but they will have heard the word of God, they will have heard the teachings, and they'll put it together in their brain and say, oh, that's what happened. Jesus, I am so sorry. Forgive me. Take me from this place. But it's too late. You will not escape the tribulation. And so those people will have given their hearts to Jesus and have turned their faith to God. That is a miracle. But what is a bigger miracle is if they make it out of this thing alive, because it probably will not happen. So people have given their lives to Jesus Christ based upon the foundations of faith that they had earlier in their life, most likely. And they are going to be tormented. But the torture hasn't even begun. Because at the midway point of this 7-year tribulation, 3.5 years into it, is something that this is referred to as the desecration of the temple. It's also referred to in the scriptures as the abomination of desolation. Please do not let all of these big words and descriptive things throw you. It is a catalytic kind of moment. It's the midway point of the 7-year tribulation. I told you the Antichrist is promising peace on earth, right? Well, he promised something that he can't and he won't fulfill. And at the midway point of the tribulation, he will show his true colors and he will break his promise. He will break his covenant, his contract, if you will, with Israel. And then at that point, all of the Jewish people are scattered. Now I need you to try to understand something. Sometimes we think that Jewish people are God's people, so therefore they're going to go to heaven. That's not true. We love Jewish people. We do. We love everybody. But let me explain it to you very quickly in a 90-second nutshell. Jewish people are part of the bloodline of God's people. They were promised in the Old Testament that a Messiah is going to come, the Son of God. The Messiah came in Jesus Christ, born of a Virgin Mary, out of Bethlehem. But they didn't believe that that was the Messiah. In fact, Jewish people still hold to the belief that the Messiah is yet to come. There are Messianic Jews, Jews that believe in the Messiah, in Jesus, and they would be Christians practicing maybe Jewish customs, which, you, by the way, our job is not to transfer our Western understanding of Christianity to every other culture in the world. Our job is to introduce people to Jesus Christ, and he can handle his own church, right? So the Jewish people will be scattered all over the earth because this great assault is going to take place and great persecution breaks out against all who believe in Jesus at this point. And Jesus Christ himself gives us a glimpse of what this is going to look like and how awful it's going to be in the book of Mark chapter 13. We're going back there again. Just a couple of verses beginning at verse number 14. When you see, Jesus says, the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea, in Israel, flee to the mountains. Jesus said, get the heck out of there. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything. Don't pack a bag. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. Don't go home and get your stuff. It's happening. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now and never to be equaled again. This is serious, Jesus is saying. It's gonna be hell on earth. after the if you can put the chart, bless your heart, Marissa, after the desecration of the temple, after this covenant is broken, oh, then we begin what's called the Great Tribulation. This tribulation period is 7 years. But now we begin, oh God, the Great Tribulation. If you know Jesus, you won't be there. It's important, though, as the church, that we know what's going to happen, because it just might light a fire under your booty to start sharing your faith with people that you care about. Because you don't want anybody going through this. The Great Tribulation period begins, and it lasts for a period of 3.5 years, and it is hell on earth. It's explained in Revelation chapter 6 through 18, when I told you it's scary. You read that before you go to bed, and you're not sleeping well that night. This is the number 666 is on the scene. You know 6666. The number 3 is the number of perfect. Three, the numbers mean something in the Bible. Somebody want to write about this, but 3 is the number of perfection. God, the Trinity, right? God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the 3, number of perfection. 6 is the number of humanity, falling short of the number 7, which is the number of God. So humanity falls short. It's imperfection. It's perfect imperfection. And that's the number of the devil. He's perfectly imperfect. And what's going to happen during this time is people won't be able to buy anything. They won't be able to sell anything. You can't get food for your baby. You can't do anything unless, of course, you have a mark on you. And the mark is in the number 666, forehead, that right hand. I don't know what it's going to look like, how it's going to be. I don't know. All I know is we're in a culture right now that it's absolutely normal to stick an RFID chip in your dog because you don't want Fido getting lost. What about our children? We don't want them getting lost either. Kidnappings could go down if we just put a little chip in our kids. Let me just kind of say a precursor about the mark of the beast. Don't freak out about it, because you can't have taken the mark of the beast, all right? It's impossible, right? You won't have taken it. Now, there's a slippery slope working toward it, but the church is already going to be raptured away before that thing is going to be introduced. All that's happening right now in culture is we're getting ready for it. It wasn't that long ago, believe it or not, historically, that in order to buy something, you bartered for it, right? You traded your chickens for the, I don't know, ham, something, or what you bet's what you did. I digress. Then we kind of got into this gold and silver kind of culture where precious stones were exchanged for at value. And then, of course, it went to currency and coins and currency. And then, of course, we went to, well, credit cards. And then it was debit cards attached to your checking account. You don't need to worry about checks anymore or anything like that. And now, of course, it's hold it up again, Kyler. Now it's what's called Apple Pay or whatever. You just kind of use your phone. And I don't know if you've seen the latest technology, but they're using scanners now that you'll be able to have the phone actually project on your wrist because of a chip inside you that you can just, hey, how's it going, man? How's it going, man? You doing good? And you can talk. Then you'll never lose your phone, which is way more secure, because if you lose your phone, you've lost all your passwords. And I think it's just telling you guys, don't freak out about this stuff. I mean, enjoy the technology, but it's happening, and it's going to seem very normal to people. Very, very normal, because of promise and peace, and hey, we can be in this thing with one world currency, and it's all going to take place. Oh, by the way, if you don't take the mark of the beast during that time, yeah, you're going to be executed. Not only will you, let me just paint a grim picture for you. And you might not like this. I don't like to think about it either, but you won't be executed, but they'll hold you and say, take the mark of the beast, as they take your son and they rip his fingernails out one at a time. As they take your baby and they cut their fingers off, jerk their whole arm off while you watch the torture taking place. This is the Great Tribulation. There is nothing worse than this, and there never will be. Until parents finally say, I'll take the mark, spare my child. And when you take the mark, you don't have a dog's chance of getting into heaven ever. That's it. There is no repentance after that point. That's how horrible hell on earth is going. You do not want to be, and you do not want your family to be there. During this time of grace, I don't want to scare you. It's the Bible. It's like, I don't know, God put it in here. And during this time, just a couple of other examples that Revelation 6 through 18 tells us is people during the Great Tribulation are going to experience festering sores like they've never experienced before. The Bible says the sea is going to turn to blood and all the animals therein are going to perish or die. It says rivers and springs are going to become blood. The sun is going to scorch. You think you've had a sunburn before? The sun's going to scorch people. The Bible says there's going to be darkness and great pain, a drought like never before. Right now, the Holy Spirit, the God Spirit, is, believe it or not, protecting us from the demonic forces. Not all of them, but there's legions of demons that are being held back by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We sing about it all the time. During this time, there'll be no more protection. Every demon in hell will be released upon the earth to wreak havoc and torture and pain upon humanity. You cannot, and the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit is even worse. There's no protection anymore. During this 3.5 year period, the Bible says 100-pound hailstones are going to fall from the heavens. I just can't even imagine that. People are going to die. It's going to be plagues like we've never experienced. We just came out of a plague. It's hell on earth. Some people, Troy, this doesn't sound fair. It's not fair. The truth is, it is fair. Sin requires justice. Justice requires judgment. Period. We're living in the church age, the age of Jesus Christ. Jesus offers us grace and forgiveness. See, the judgment and the justice that we deserve, Jesus took on the cross at Calvary. We don't have to take it. But when God withdraws during that great tribulation period, his wrath is poured out and judgment will come because that's what sin demands. It is fair. I don't like it either, but it's fair. At the end of this, thanks for leaving the chart up there, Marissa. She's doing such a great job. At the end of this tribulation period, there's going to be a time where Israel is going to be backed up against it. It's going to seem like all hope has been lost. There's going to be this one final battle between good and evil, and it's called the Battle of Armageddon. It's at the end of the tribulation period, and there's a remnant. There's just like there is today, but there's a remnant of faithful ones who did not take the mark of the beast. And they're going to feel like it's impossible. I'm not going to survive. And that's when Jesus is going to return with the armies of heaven. And guys, I've already signed up to be a part of that crew. And I hope you have too. We're going to go with Jesus. And we get to go with him. And we get to defeat the nations that are in cohort with, collaborating with the Antichrist, fighting under the banner of the Antichrist. And this is when the Antichrist and the false prophet, the Bible says, are going to be thrown alive into the lake of burning sulfur, never to appear again. Jesus has now returned. What did you, but didn't you say he already came? What are you talking about? Yes, Jesus raptured the church here, but we met him in the air. Jesus didn't touch the earth. We got to go up. Whee! If you're afraid of heights, suck it up, buttercup. You're going to enjoy every minute of it. It's going to be wonderful, right? We get to ride and we get to be with Jesus. But 7 years later, we get to return with Jesus. And this is when Jesus is going to set his foot down upon planet Earth. And in fact, it says in the Old Testament book of Zechariah, chapter 14. Let me just read to you what it says. It says, on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from the east to the west, forming a great valley with half the mountain moving north and half the mountain moving south. So when Jesus comes back, the whole world is going to change. It's like, ta-da, bam, and then we kick button, take name, something like that, right? We get to be a part of this during this return of Christ. This is also a time where we're going to experience the return of Christ is a time where lots going to happen. The judgment of the nations is going to take place at this point. What are you talking about, Troy? This is when Jesus, right then, will judge those who made it through the tribulation period. And he will separate the righteous from the wicked. Matthew chapter 25 explains he will separate the sheep from the goats. So the people that made it, either they remained faithful, they did not take the mark of the beast, and they loved God and they loved Jesus, they'll be separated, and those who did take the mark of the beast will be separated. And those who took the mark of the beast that were separated, the wicked are going to be cast into hell, and the righteous are going to enter into the millennial kingdom. This is also a time of the binding of Satan. At this point, the Antichrist thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, alive. False prophet, ditto. And Satan will be bound. Jesus will bind Satan and will cast him into the abyss, this bottomless pit, where he will spend the next 1,000 years not having any influence or control. Because during this next 1,000 years is what's called the millennium, 1,000 reign of Christ. This is a time where not the Antichrist will rise to power, but the capital C Christ will be in charge during the millennial reign of Christ. We get to experience, I don't know what it's going to look like, but we get to experience the rule and reign of a literal Jesus Christ during this incredible 1,000 year period. There is some bad news. I told you I didn't write the story, just the messenger. And I'm not quite sure that theologians have figured this out, but at the end of the 1,000 years, for a short period of time, Satan is going to be released. God is going to allow Satan to be released at the end of the millennial reign for a short period of time. Well, he will once again wreak havoc upon people. And some people will turn away from God. And I'm like, are you an idiot? All this wonderful stuff that you escaped the years of the tribulation, or you made it through the years of the tribulation and you trusted God and you got to see the devil be defeated. You got to see the false prophet. You got to see all this stuff taking place and you got to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years and then you blew it. I'm not quite sure why, but I can only speculate that during that time, pride may still well up. Why did Satan get cast out of heaven to begin with? Because pride entered him. And I think God's going to eliminate all pride at the very end, but it's only going to be for a short period of time. And then at the end of that period of time, the end of the millennial reign of Christ, Satan will also be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where he will be destroyed forever and ever. And we will enter into what's called this final judgment of God. What is the final judgment of God? Here's the good news. If you know Jesus now and you remain to know Jesus, you don't turn your back on him, you don't got to worry about this. This is also called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, you might remember reading about this a little bit, but there are two primary judgments in the Bible. One of the judgments that you'll find in the chart over here is the what we talked about, the judgment seat of Christ. Those who have been raptured away, we are going to be judged by God. But remember, innocent because of my blood, Jesus is going to say. But now at this great white throne judgment, what's going to happen during this period is everybody who has been in hell at this point, to this point, is now going to stand before God. And now, I'm sorry, I just misspoke. I told you the mistruth. Because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. What's going to happen at this final judgment, this great white throne judgment, is the evil, wicked people from all eras of history will be resurrected, and they will come before God in this final judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. The verdicts are read, and all of sinful humanity has no mediator. There's no Jesus saying, but my blood covers them, because they never received that while they were alive. The verdicts are read, and they are all also cast into the lake of fire. By the way, if you're at this judgment, well, that's not good. Because everybody at this judgment will be cast into the lake of fire. And then we enter into the eternal state. After the great white throne judgment, this is where the Bible tells us that God completely remakes the heavens and the earth. It's at this time that Jesus wipes away every tear. It It's at this point that he says, there's going to be no more pain and no more death and no more sorrow and no more loss and no more grief, no more child abuse and no more abandonment. There's going to be no more depression. There's going to be no more discouragement. There's going to be no more apathy. There's going to be no more separation. There's going to be no more. And he says, I'm making everything new. And that's when the new Jerusalem descends from heaven. And the children of God will enjoy eternity with God. My two favorite chapters in the whole Bible, Revelation 21, 22, where it explains to us a little bit about what heaven is. Whew. Anybody else exhausted? Huh, right on. So you just got like a 16-week semester course. Put the chart back up for me, Marissa. You're doing such a great job in like 35 minutes. But it's so important that you understand the primary thing is you don't have to be there. I don't want you to be there. I don't want your family to be there. I don't want your weird Uncle Eddie to be there. I don't want anybody to be there. It's important that every Christ follower know that during this time, we're safe in the arms of Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. You deserve to experience the wrath of God. I deserve to experience the wrath of God. But because of Jesus, we don't have to. We can receive his love and his protection, his mercy and his grace. I got some homework for you. Take out your pencil. Nobody uses a pencil. Let me take out your phone. I want you to, or if you don't have a phone or a pencil or anything, then just, I guess, prick yourself and write in blood somewhere. I would like you to read the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 18, before next weekend. Chapters 1 through 18, the book of Revelation, read it. You're going to be like, I don't understand it. That's okay. Some of y'all are like, Troy, I'm in hashtag Bible Strong on Thursday nights, and you're having me read the book of Acts this week. Now you want me to also read the first 18 chapters of the book of Revelation? Yes, I do, right? How long will it take you? Well, I read it myself. First 18 chapters takes between 30 and 35 minutes. That's how long it's going to take this week for you to read it. So it's not a long read. I think we get overwhelmed by, you want me to do what? Just read it. Listen to it. I'm not even asking you to fully understand it, but we're trying to become aware, because next week, that's what I'm going to do, is we're going to become familiar with the book of Revelation. It really has five like themes to it. And if you understand those five themes, you can be like, oh, okay, I can understand this. I can connect to this. And so we're going to spend the next couple weekends unpacking that together. I think actually next weekend we'll do the first 18 chapters. Then we'll take a break from the series so you can breathe a little bit, do Father's Day, have a great time. And then the end of June, we'll finish the book of Revelation. And then in the month of July, I'll take a few weeks and we'll talk about how do we put all this stuff together and what's going on in the world around us. I want our church to be very relevant. Like meaning, I want you to be able to like take something from God's word, apply it to your life this week. I think you can apply this to your life this week. An awareness that Jesus is coming back and there's nothing standing in his way. And we must be ready. We must keep watch. And we must be aggressive about sharing our faith and inviting people. That's the alarm. He's coming right now. I'm just kidding. So, I love it. Couldn't have timed any better. It's not a trumpet. It's a beep, but you know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now it won't turn off. So let's pray together. Mighty God, I thank you, God, for your word. Thanks, God, that you give us a map. You're very clear with us. And you're telling us what's going to happen. And we have to have faith to believe and to trust you. But boy, everything you've said was going to happen has already happened. You're batting at 1,000. And you've never lied or failed. There's no mistake. So God, we trust you that this is going to take place. So I ask God that you have us be ready. And I pray, God, for somebody that might be in this room or listening to this message or watching online right now that doesn't know for sure. They're going to go when Jesus comes back. Doesn't know for sure that they've been forgiven of their sins. There's some people that view Jesus as an equal. He's my homeboy. He's not your homeboy. He's the Lord of all. So God, I pray that you would draw us close to you, that we would know, understand, and realize that we are nothing and you are everything and we need your forgiveness. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know that you know that Jesus is the Lord of your life, then friend, you don't know. And you need to know, because you will know. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you've done everything right this week, because there ain't nobody in here that has. But it just means you know you're forgiven. You're walking in that forgiveness and that restored relationship with God, that when you do fail, you don't hang your head and hide, but instead you say, God, I messed up again. I am so sorry. Help me to do better. Help me to live. Help me to make restitution. Help me to do better. Forgive me, please. And it's that relationship. So if you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you can have it. And it's not joining a church. It's not paying money. It's not doing all kinds of acts of service. It's just receiving the freeness, the free gift of salvation from Jesus. It's saying, I believe that you died. I believe that you were buried. I believe that you rose again. I believe that you did that so that I don't have to suffer a devil's pain. I don't have to endure all that. You did it for me, and I thank you for that. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, repented of your sins, the only way you do that is by praying. I'd love to, I'd be honored to lead you in a prayer of repentance. I won't parade you before the people. I just want you to know God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, if you'd like to pray that prayer and know before you leave this place today or before you leave the online gathering that Jesus is the Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three. And when I get there, I'd like you to just put a hand up. And if you're online, I want you to put just a raised hand in the messages. One, two, three. Put that hand up. Come on now. Come on. Thank you. 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 Pray with me right now. Dear God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Change my life. I am so sorry, God. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for what I've said. I'm sorry for who I've hurt. I'm sorry for the unforgiveness and bitterness that I've held on to. I'm sorry, Jesus. Please forgive me. Change me. Help me to live a better life. I repent of it all. I turn away from all of the evilness. And I ask you to cleanse me. Save me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you are born again. You're saved. You don't have to be worried. Just live a life of relationship with God. Hallelujah. 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 Be ready, ladies and gentlemen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he give you rest, and may he give you peace. God bless you, New Life Church, until we meet again. Amen, amen, amen.